found this in Ganarum. Ganamir Ni.
What is it?
Well, it's
Sigma Falls.
Welcome to Synthaholics, guys. With me is my co-host, Aaron O'Brien, and me, of course, David Duncan. Today, we have with us Todd Chante, the man behind the Captain Pike Kickstarter, who will also be playing Captain Pike. We have Walter Doty, the co-writer also of the Star Trek Captain Pike show, and Inhale. And then we have the legendary Walter Koenig here, who is also now co-writing the Captain Pike series. So can you tell us a little bit about how the writing's going?
It's going great. We were just going over the script, going over some different things we're going to add into it. We're going to extend it out, so it's going to be a Captain Pike saga. So it's going to have a lot of character development. I think the fans are going to be really happy with the progress of it.
The whole idea is to bring, to invest in each character enough dimension to make him identifiable as a character and not simply as a talking head. We want to get the feel, want the audience to feel that they get to know this whole group as a family and can identify with everyone.
That's cool. When you guys write that, I mean, how do you approach the idea of a character's how many episodes do you think does it take to bring a character into full, bring into people's hearts, that kind of thing? Does it take one, or do you think you have to use one or two different episodes to do something like that? We'll edit that.
I would say I think it would take a couple of episodes to really delve into what
I think we're
going to be.
The main pilot, we're exploring all the characters, and of course we're going to give the lead characters more screen time than some of the supporting roles, but the supporting roles in the film won't be a character that's just there to say communications or something small. You'll get to know all the characters, which is great. So we'll get to explore each character and who the person is, and you get to learn that instead of just having the characters there, just to have bridge crew there. We're going to explore each person on the bridge. We're going to explore all the characters and story and see how they relate to each other. And we'll see how that progresses in the series. So it won't be just in the pilot. You'll see the progression throughout the series of all the different characters in the whole saga.
And you'll learn about the history of these people. You know, why they do the things they do, why they say the things they do, why they are there. It's not going to be an academic treatise, but it will be in the course of storytelling. They are how they affect the story and how they are affected by the story. I have a particular passion about this. I take it very personally. You know, as part of the original Star Trek, we had three primary characters who were very well delineated and were able to follow their stories and who they were very well. It was very well written. But the secondary characters sort of got lost in the background. And I think we lost something by that. It's not simply a matter of giving people more lines, but it's enriching the story and making it more vital. And when there is jeopardy, we have a greater sense. We feel that jeopardy more acutely when we know the characters who might be hurt by the threat that is upon us. So, yes, by all means, every actor who is going to be cast in this will be cast with concern for their ability, for the profundity they can bring to the roles.
Yeah, that's great, because I think that's so important to identify the past of a character, even if you don't get the full story right away, that you start understanding where they're coming from, even if you get hints of it in the beginning, that you know this is what they're coming from, and it makes you more driven, because people, every person watching every episode of anything, you know, if it's a movie, a TV show, they identify with different characters. Maybe they see something themselves in it and they're like, oh, I understand that character. And then they latch onto it. So I think that's what makes great character development. And I think that's probably the hardest part of any writing to do for anything is that you have to actually have good character. I mean, you can come with a cool idea, but have a really good character.
I think that's part of the 21st century television writing. The good stuff, the cable stuff, the Mad Men, the Games of Thrones, the idea of that there's a lot of characters, and you ultimately tie into all of them. And sometimes you cheer for them, and sometimes you boo them. And sometimes you're shocked by their behavior, and sometimes you applaud what they have to do. And it just makes it so much more dimensional and so much more involving.
Yeah, it's really great when you get to care about all the different characters in a show. And like you said, you know, you care what happens to them if they do get hurt by something. With this Captain Pike saga, like, what kind of, like, longevity are y'all, like, wanting to plan with this? Because originally when I talked with Todd, we talked about the original show and then the movie, The Encounter at Rigel. So, like, what kind of arc are you guys, like, trying to plan on for all the in-between?
Basically, we're taking it from the pilot of Pike's first mission, and then from his first mission after that pilot, we can continue from there. We can go into Encounter at Rigel, or we can go into a different direction and write more episodes in between. It just depends what the fans want. But we have a whole story that goes out and expands into a universe of all these different characters. To me, it's important to cover that. To see who these captains are, to know who they are. When you saw the original series and you'd see the captain of one of the starships, you knew he was this decorated captain, and maybe Kirk loved him because of his career and he idolized him. But you never got a chance to know why or who they were. And I think that's something that is important for us to explore, who these characters are. Not only the story of you know, what the event is, but to know, you know, how they developed to be the people they are and how they became successful people in Starfleet.
I actually haven't spoken to my two co-writers here, but I have a thought that we will, you know, discuss before the afternoon is over, about a recurring antagonist. Mm. Not a Klingon and not a Romulan, but somebody who will come back from time to time to try to make life miserable for Captain Pike.
Great. That's awesome. One thing I wanted to ask you was, because we're talking about character development as well, when you watch the original pilot for Star Trek, and, you know, you see the early Spock, and it was obviously at that point that, you know, everyone's trying to work out their role. Nimoy's portrayal of Spock is considerably a little bit more stiff back then. I wondered if you would kind of portray him a little bit like that, since he's probably fresh off Vulcan, or if that's just it's something I noticed. I didn't because I you know he is a little more comes on stronger in those episodes.
I think in the pilot, when you watch the cage, you'll see Spock smile and do a lot of things just because his character hasn't been established.
Right.
Once the original series took off and they established who his character was, he got comfortable in playing that role. And I think in the pilot, you're going to see a Spock that is different, because this is the Spock before he was with Kirk. He's not as experienced as the way he was with Kirk. He doesn't know how to control his emotions maybe as well as he does later on.
That's interesting.
So you'll see a different Spock, a very interesting Spock that we've never really seen before, because it's a younger Spock, a Spock that hasn't had the experience that we've seen with the Spock with Kirk.
That's cool. Yeah, because I'm fascinated with those early with the Pike stories that are in the original series too, because there's so much there that you're like, what happened back then? Because it's you know, it's almost shrouded in a shadow, because it's like there's, you know, he steals the Enterprise at one point, you know, it's so like there's got to be some really interesting stories there. So I'm excited what you guys have are cooking.
Now we are all cognizant of the need to give some recognition to the Star Trek canon. God forbid that we didn't do that. because if you dismiss that as not being important, then you might as well be telling a different story. You're not telling a Star Trek story. And ultimately, this is going to be a Star Trek story. On the other hand, it can restrict what you're doing if you adhere too solemnly, too closely to every small thing that has gone about in the past. So we are going to take this to some degree, and I'm reluctant to even say this because I don't want to sound like we are going to be revolutionary in the way we approach the material. But we need to have some freedom to try out some other ideas that are not solely represented already in Star Trek that we knew. But we want to bring some original things to the story that will expand the Star Trek universe beyond the canon as you know it now.
That sounds really excellent to get a new, fresh look on Star Trek, because we've seen a lot of the same things kind of come around. Sometimes some of the same stories come around between the different series. So I'm definitely really excited to see how all this new stuff is going to unfold and what all three of you are going to bring to the table creatively. Faith, one of our other co-hosts, she's not with us, but she did have some questions. She was asking, what are y'all enjoying most about working on this project? And what's challenging about it? And, you know, like, is the working on a Kickstarter project a lot different than working on, like, a regular project?
For me, what I enjoy about it is, as you pointed out, trying to fill in the gaps of the Captain Pike story. What got me excited was the fact that Spock was willing to commandeer the Enterprise. What made that happen? You brought this up a minute ago. What happened in the past that makes Spock do what he does? And trying to figure that out and trying to piece that together, that made it interesting for me.
Yeah, I think when we saw the Menagerie episode, we saw how Spock was willing to sacrifice his whole career for Captain Pike. And to me, that was shocking because I thought he would only do that for Kirk. And then I learned that there was another captain that he was very loyal to, and he had
even more so
in that episode. I said, wow, he's willing to give up everything for Pike. And
until
I think
go against Kirk.
Exactly. And I think the fans want to know why, what happened with their relationship. Obviously, they had a strong bond and they worked together on that ship. And there was a piece of missing history there. And we have to fill that in.
Yeah. And that I like that you guys are trying to not just fill in the gaps, but you're also trying to reimagine some things. I know that you, because you know, from the past interview, how you've talked about the idea of it, it's going to be have some different aspects of it. When I originally see the original Cage episode, I have a feeling it's a slight callbacks of like Lost in Space feel, where it's like there's a darkness beyond space that you can't, there's things that you can't even quantify in your head. And there's a danger there that you don't know if you're going to be able to survive. And that's the same feeling I got from the Cage as well. I know you guys touched on it before, but is there anything else that you want to say about that? Because that spirit is it's a little bit different than the original series when we see the full crew in swing.
Well, I think one of the things that I would like to bring to it is the unexpected. I would like, you know, generally when you watch a television episode or even a movie, if you're a keen enough viewer, you can. Pick up on what is being telegraphed and know what's going to happen later in the story many times. What I would like to see is to drop some seeds, but make them obscure enough that when things happen, you do not expect them, that they can be a real shock, that this is not what this is not the primrose path you were led down. It's something quite different, and yet it's still legitimate. It isn't unjustified. It isn't out of the blue. You know, it's not the writers, directors, etc., playing games with the audience. But the audience should be prepared to not know everything that's going to happen.
That's great. Because, I mean, that's one of the things, too, is like you're saying, drop little seeds, and then, you know, you pick up this little bread trail crumb, and you're like, right. And then you're like, whoa, that's what they meant by that back then, you know. that's cool, because the audience gets the revelation as the story unfolds. That's the cool part.
Yeah, I mean, I think the main thing is we want to make this something new, something exciting that people haven't seen. So we want to do something that's original, at the same time honor the original Star Trek, but we want to do something that's edgy, that has maybe a darker tone, that's something that people will really enjoy.
Well, I think it's because Captain Pike is definitely not Captain Kirk.
He's not Kirk. It's a
so
darker
ship. It gives us a little bit to play with, you know, so we're not redoing Captain Kirk.
And the great thing about the Pike character is, you know, you have the menagerie, and you have the cage, which is pretty much the same footage as far as that pilot footage. So you don't have a lot to work with. You do have that established, but there's still a lot you could do with that character that hasn't been explored.
Yeah, it's great. I'm just excited what you guys are cooking up there. That's going to be so cool to see it all unfold.
It is exciting. It really is exciting. I think it's exciting for us. Because it's an adventure for us as writers to find out where we can go, how far we can challenge what has gone before, and still maintain, you know, an integrity that is important.
That's excellent. And I know you all have worked in your own fields of acting, directing, writing, and other projects. What is most challenging about this current project that you're working on with the Captain Pike?
I guess for me, it's you have certain things that the fans expect. There are certain things you have to do because you want to make everyone happy. You want to make all the Star Trek fans happy. You want to make people who don't know anything about Star Trek happy. You want to do something that people will love, whether you like sci-fi, whether you like Star Trek or not. You want a story that they can invest themselves into the characters and really get behind it. And for me, it's all about the characters, the story, all of it put together, and, you know, and keeping all the things that are important as far as the series go, to keep that in mind when writing. So there's a lot of things we have to keep in mind when we write things and put things together, to make sure everything is done the right way.
Awesome. Now, when you guys do the writings, I obviously each part, you know, if you're doing the original, like the pilot movie and the subsequent stories afterward, do you guys do a lot of rewrites? Or, I mean, because, I mean, it's right now, I'm assuming just you three writing, or do you just bounce the ideas around until you flesh them out?
Well, basically, we have a script that we're going through. And we're saying, like, for instance, we're doing this now. We did this right before, you know, we did this podcast. We're sitting here, we're going through the script and saying, hey, what could we do here? And how can we improve this to even make it better? What can we add to it? What can we take away? What could we do with this character that maybe we didn't do? So that's basically what we're doing now. We're going through it and saying, what's the best we can do to make this as not only the pilot, but to make this a continuing series that can expand the universe that we're creating for it.
Yeah, so we are definitely doing rewrites and tweaking.
Yeah.
Just, as he said, to just make things exactly the way we want them.
Right.
I'm guessing that there will be several rewrites. And even after all the characters have been cast, the actors, you might find, you know, qualities that actors bring to the role that make tweaking even more essential.
Yeah.
Say, oh, look, this person can do this, and never thought of that idea.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
so the actors certainly bring something to it as well. Incidentally, I'm going to be playing one of the characters too, not a regular, but one of the characters, and I look forward to it because it's a very interesting character. I played bad guys, but I played bad guys. They've had certain cerebral element to their badness, and this guy is just full of revenge.
Wow. David, you got the reveal here.
Man.
That's awesome.
This is a reveal right here. I didn't even know he was going to say it.
Is anybody running for president, too, while we're at it?
Oh, so the recurring villain.
Oh, I like this.
This is going to be great.
This is. I like that we got the dirt here. I'm loving this.
I'd forgotten that we hadn't mentioned it.
I was waiting for you to tell me when you weren't comfortable to mention it.
Yeah.
So,
Now it's mentioned.
Now it's mentioned, yeah.
So you guys heard it here first. Walter Koenig, villain.
Oh, man, this is going to be so cool. So, boy, that's even sweetened the pot even more. So this is going to be really neat to see this all kind of like come together. You guys, we want to talk about the Kickstarter and how things are going with you guys there and where you're heading for.
Yeah, I mean, right now I think we're about 41,000, and we need to keep going. We need to keep moving forward. So, I just need everyone who supports what we're doing to go out there and donate what you can. If you can donate a lot, please donate a lot. If you can donate a little, donate a little. If you don't have anything to donate and you can donate your time, we'd appreciate it if you can go online and just send a link to all your friends, as many sites as you can on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And just get the word out. If you really want to help us, that's the best way to help us to do all of that. I mean, because we really are passionate about this project and we want to see it made. And we need the funding to do it. That's the main thing.
Oh, we want to see it too.
The funding is really, I mean, I'm sure it's true in every case. But just to reiterate, the funding is truly going to make this picture. It's There's no fat on any of the budget that has been calculated to make this film. These two gentlemen are totally dedicated to the film and making it happen. That's what impressed me about coming aboard. These are filmmakers. These are people who a sideline or just something to do in their spare time. It's something to do now with as much determination and earnestness and intensity and dedication to making a truly smart product. It's something that people will really enjoy. And frankly, that's the reason I'm aboard, is because I sensed from both Walter and Todd that they are, extremely dedicated professionals, and if any such project has an opportunity to go forward and be successful, it certainly is this one.
Wow, that's awesome. And I've the past interview that Dave did with you there, Sean, he mentioned how you guys, I mean, you guys are like the lifeblood right now, that we're seeing so much the ideas coming out, these of the fan films, and this is going to be such a great premiere idea for this film. I'm so excited for it. There's so much to see and so much to delve into. I get excited just because, I've been watching Star Trek my whole life, and I just want to see content, but not just any content. I want to see, good writing, and I want to see something that, it sparks my imagination and makes me think about things, and that's what Star Trek's always done for me. That's why I'm excited about this project, because I think you guys got that spirit.
You got that passion, and doing a Kickstarter, that takes an enormous amount of passion and drive and needing to get things done. So I really appreciate everything you're doing to get this off the ground. Everything I've heard about it and talking with you both these times sounds absolutely amazing. I cannot wait. We'll be getting this up today, so you guys everyone can hear about this and hear all that's awesome news.
Awesome. Thank you
today. Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you all so much for coming on today. Todd, Walter, and Walter, thank you so much for all coming on.
It was great to talk to you guys. I'm so excited. I cannot wait to see what happens. This is going to be great.
Thank you. And we'll keep in touch as progress keeps continuing.
Exactly. We'll be happy to have you on anytime you want to come on.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Thank you for listening. All our music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or follow them on Twitter at warp11. You can find us online at synthaholics.com. You can email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. Our Twitter is @syntholicduo. If you want to follow us individually, you can follow me at David_J_Duncan and Aaron at Blackbird2004. If you liked our podcast, please subscribe to us on iTunes. We can also be found on Stitcher. Please tell your friends about the show. Also, if you could leave us a review and a rating, that would help us out so much. It'll help us learn how to improve so we can reach more of our fellow Trek fans. We'd love to hear your feedback. Live long and prosper. Country boys born and raised at the stars we did gaze. The next morning he left stinking of gin. Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink. And we'll cry till we laugh, and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.